want to focus on just one chapter. So Numbers 14, but if I can have people at our projection, can't see who's projectioning, but thank you very much, brother or sister, whoever is there, if you can help. James, is it there? Thank you. And if you can help me to get Numbers 14. And Brother Terrence preached a good message last week, and so I just felt maybe I should just preach the same passage. I feel inspired about that passage, so I want to get you back to look at number 14. I could have asked him to preach the same message, but I want to give a few other things in perspective of what the Lord is. You know, we've been in a series, and I'm trying to shake myself off this inheriting my promise, inheriting what the Lord has for my life. I wanted to get past it, but it just feels that we just need to hear a bit more of that. We just need to know God's got a good promise for us, and God's not, restricted us from getting that. God is waiting for us to get into His promise. Would you say amen? And it just feels that God just wants to remind us again and again and again. He's got a good purpose and a promise for us. Could you turn to somebody and say, God has got a good purpose for you. Turn to somebody and say, you've not seen what God has planned. Hallelujah. They're just good things. Amen. Numbers chapter 14. And you've got your Bible. You can get there. And if I can get somebody in now, usher team, if you can get me some water, that'll be great. Numbers 14. And let's read it. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Father, we pray today that God, you would open our hearts, open our minds, open our thoughts. We pray, God, Lord, that we will today not just listen to words, but God, our spirit, God, our spirits will begin to capture what you have for us. God, Lord, you said, God, Lord, when faith is mixed with your word, God, Lord, then there is power, there is a blessing. So God, we're believing you here today that God, Lord, the words you have spoken here today will be mixed with faith, with those who listen and receive it. And God, that we will get hold of what you have planned for us. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Let's just read the rest of it. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And why has the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and us return unto Egypt. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation, the children of Israel. Praise God. Amen. You can read the rest. And we know, we're very familiar with this passage, and we've heard it many, many times preached. It starts off verse 1. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. I want to just raise one point. And I'm just assuming that many of you are very familiar with this passage. And so I want to give you a lot of context. But just to give you a sense of this, or rather, let me just try to get your attention on one thought. And that thought is, beware when your emotions lead you to something other than a prayer meeting. Let me repeat that again. Beware when your emotions lead you to something other than a prayer meeting. Right here in this situation, the people of Israel were very emotional. There was a little pain in their heart because they were, if you read verse chapter 13, they were at a threshold of coming into the promised land. The plan of God was being unfolded for them. They had left Egypt. It was a place of bondage. They suffered for many, many years. But yet they had a place with some kinds of comfort, but very, very minimal, because as what we read in scripture, the demands of the Egyptians were treacherous, and they were very demanding. And they demanded them, for instance, to build great cities without giving them provision to do that. And so there was suffering under the hand of the taskmasters. But God delivered them. As you read the scripture, God used Moses and he brought them out of that land of slavery. And they saw the Lord do those miraculous things. And they saw the Lord judge the Egyptian forces and judge them. in doing things, and there was hail, and there was darkness, and there was gnats, and there was frogs, and all kinds of things. And the final punishment was when God killed the very firstborn children of every Egyptian family. And God wrought a tremendous deliverance in the people of Israel. Because when the death angel came, it passed over every household which had blood on top of their doorposts. And God said, I would pass by them. And so the people of Israel were free. Would you say amen? And so they had seen the hand of the Lord. They had seen the hand of the Lord when they journeyed through the land. And they got to the river, and when the Egyptians were on their back and trying to reach out and try to get them back, and the Lord opened up the river, and so they could walk through the river on dry ground. Would you say amen? And when the Egyptians wanted to do the same, the waters crashed over them. Hallelujah. What a great deliverance of the Lord. And then they had seen how time and time again, as they had finished all of their supplies and whatever they had packed to bring them through the journey had finished, and they had no more food. The Lord began to rain manna, which took care of all their needs. Would you say hallelujah? And the Lord was their healing. The Lord was their health. And the Lord opened water for them. And the Lord cleansed water. And God gave them such wonderful provision. Amen. And so now they were in that final place. And they'd gone through a little bit of a journey. And now they were at the threshold of a great blessing. This is a blessing which the Lord had told them that he would give them. And so if you had your Bibles, you can read Numbers chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses. It says, send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Amen. And so here it was. God says, I give them a promise. I'm giving them the land, and they can go and take the land. And so it was a good feeling when you were told that, yes, your months of journeying is over, and now you can come and you're at the threshold of that great promise, and you can go and take your promise. Is that good? Don't we all like to hear that? Don't we like to hear the fact that you have worked very hard and God's pleased with your hard work, and now you're going to become the CEO of your great corporation? Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you are feeling right here, the blessing of the Lord. You have tarried long enough, and now God's going to send you the perfect person to marry. Praise God. Waited long enough, and now you're going to get the greatest blessing and the financial open door. Hallelujah. Amen. We love to know that's going to happen, and we know we're at the threshold of a great promise and a blessing. But the way God works is, God does put some tests on our path. Amen. We'll come to that in a while's time. But when they heard the report, and God had some way, just before they got in, God had them send some spies to go and check the land. And they came back with a report. And you know the report. Eight of them had some terrible things to say about what was in the land to believe God. And when the people heard about the fact that the land that they were going in had giants in the land. And it was a city, as the Bible says, as the people said here, the land will eat up its very inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are people of great stature. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, who came up to the giants. And we were in their sight as grasshoppers. And so the people were intimidated and they began to cry. The Bible says the people wept that night. This is a place of painful emotion. But when you and I go through that place of emotion, when we feel down and discouraged and it just like things have lost hope, what God is calling for us to do is to pray. Would you say amen? That meeting should have been a prayer meeting. That coming together, in fact, it says all the congregation. If everybody's coming together, it should lead us to a place where we look to God and we pray. Hallelujah. Rather than coming in a place where we begin to be upset, talk about our fears and our worries and our complaints, and then the rest of it is they begin to be angry and they begin to plot rebellion. The protest and rebellion. So number one, remember, beware when your emotions lead us to something else than a prayer meeting. When you're sitting down together with brothers and sisters and talking about some situation, and after a while, if all that happens is you get discouraged and you feel very angry, something is wrong. You need to move that to a prayer meeting. Would you say amen? When you sit down and you're alone at home, man, you're thinking about all the concerns you have, your emotions are reeled down, you need to move that one step more and say, I'm going to reach out to God and touch Him. Would you say amen? And sometimes when you feel so low and you can't touch God yourself, make sure you get your phone and call somebody in church and call a brother, call a sister and tell them, would you join me in prayer? Would you pray together with me? God can do something. Would you say amen? But you feel so discouraged and down, it's time for you to make sure you get your bags and get right to a cell meeting and get to a prayer meeting or get to a Friday meeting or a Saturday meeting, a Sunday meeting. We've got so many options in church. And get there and reach out to God, because the Lord will be near to those who call. Amen. Praise God. Number two, an important point. I alluded to that just a few minutes ago. Number two, stick to what God has already spoken. Let's all say it together. Stick to what God has already spoken. I mentioned to you just now, Numbers 13, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses. Well, that just reminds me about this child who was asking his mom, how did the human race come about? And the mom said, well, you know what? In the Bible, it says, and God made Adam and Eve. And so God made you. And so she was very happy about that. And she went to see a dad. And a dad told her something else. It says, we evolved from monkeys. And so she comes back to her mom and she tells her mom, she says, you know what? I asked dad and dad said, we came from monkeys. And mom said, well, you know what? I described my side of the family and he described his side of the family. All right, how did I come to that one? But you know what? Stick to what God says. I mean, you'll be fine if you believe the Bible. Amen. There's all kinds of ideas about where we came from, not in Scripture, and somebody's dreamed up some idea, and that's not, I mean, that's got failed issues in that. Praise God. But stick to what God has spoken. And God spoke to the people of Israel. He told them in Numbers 13, and without question, he says, if you read that verse again, send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Everybody says, which I give. God says, I give you this land. That's what God has spoken. God told you his plan. His plan is I give you the land. His plan is I give you the promise. His plan is that I give you this healing. His plan is that I give you this financial blessing. His plan is that I give you the spiritual blessing. That is his plan. Would you say amen? That was what he promised you. And it's powerful if you and I would just stick to what he said. Now, you know what? God said this, but then after that, they give a report about all the other things they saw. And, you know, one is, just because God said, I'm going to give that to you, does not mean that it has to work out the way we expect it to come. Maybe the Israelites were expecting that when God gives them Canaan, everybody would have been removed from that place and they'd walk straight in and everything would just be just there for them. Maybe that was what they're expecting. Maybe they're expecting that if God's going to give me a present, I'll walk straight in and enjoy it immediately. They didn't realize and they didn't recognize the fact that God does put us so often before we get into a promotion and a blessing, there's a trial before that. And God allows us to go through that trial. That's the way God wants to build us and teach us. We'll come to that. But here it is, the call of God for us to stick to what he has already spoken. If he has said that he's going to give that to you, he is going to do that. Amen. It may not look like it. There might be situations which will be averse to that. There might be a lot of challenges in the way. But if the Lord says it, that settles it. Shut up, devil. Would you say a good amen to that? Amen. Praise God. Third thing, I think this passage reminds us, is about focus. What do we focus on? And so here I say, focus on the grapes and not the giants. Focus on the grapes and not the giants. When the spies went into the land, all 10 of them, Moses had told them to go out, scout the land, get a report of what's going on in the land, and bring back some samples of the food that they have. They came back. They did exactly what Moses had told them to do. They carried in bunches of grapes. Now, the grapes were extremely large, and so they had to carry it in with poles. And so it was just a demonstration of what was in the land. Clearly, if you had been wandering in the wilderness for many years, you probably would not be able to get grapes. Grapes is what you do when you grow vineyards, and wild grapes don't seem to have the kind of sweetness. It doesn't cultivate so well, but right here you have this nice stuff. It comes when you enter into a cultivated kind of space. So it should have triggered that in them. It says, wow, this land is awesome. It's got great things to offer. That should have been the response. But instead, they focus their minds on the giants. They focus on the adversaries which are there in the land, and rather than the promise. Praise God. God's called us to focus on the grapes. God has called us to focus on the plan and the promises. When God has something, it's good stuff. And God's prepared good stuff for us. Yes, there might be giants. Yes, there might be obstacles. Yes, there may be things which hinder you. The thing about, you're just thinking about, there's a promotion that's coming for your life. But you know it's going to come with adversity. Amen. You know, every blessing of friendships comes with trouble. Blessing of money comes with trouble. Every kind of blessing, it always comes. There are always going to be things you're going to have to fight with and deal with. But if you and I could focus on what God has planned, He's got a good plan for me. And in His plan, as I go through those tests, God is going to make the promise so beautiful. I can focus on that. That would be good. Would you say amen? Fourth thing. Defining moments of our life is when God moves us from the comfort zone to the character zone. Let me say it again. The defining moments of our life is when God moves us from the comfort zone into the character zone. That's what defines our life. That's what's going to determine our destiny. It's when God's put us in that position. They were in that comfortable stage. They're all right. They had done this moving for quite a while. But God is wanting to move them now into a situation where their character has to be tested. There's going to be some giants. There's going to be some trial. And character has to come out. Whether you believe God and trust Him or you don't. Whether you stick to the program or you don't. Whether you'll be faithful to God or you're not faithful to God. That's the defining moments of our life. How many of you just want to stay in the comfort zone? I prefer that too. But that will stop us from entering into blessing. And that blessing comes with God testing our character. Throughout scripture, you read about it. God says God put him there in that situation to test him. The word of the Lord tested Joseph in prison. That was what God did. God tested Job. God tested throughout scripture. He tested people to see what's within them. And God does that. Now, God's a good father. He loves us. And I don't understand it so much. And sometimes we don't understand it. We don't understand why God would let us go through some test and trial and difficulty. But that's in the plan of God. And I choose and you choose to stick to what God has said. He said when He is done with you through this trial, you'll be made perfect. Hallelujah. That's what He says. That's what I know. That's why I know these trials. God says He's going to use these trials to develop something in my life for His praise and His glory. He gets glory from this. And if God says this is good, then it is good. Would you say amen? Our human mind does not understand it. Our human mind says, this is ridiculous. But would God let me go through this trial so He can receive some glory? But God says that's the way it is going to be. And I trust Him. Amen. I trust He is good. Because I've seen always that God, when they've gone through those trials, God raises them up and He puts His blessing, He puts His glory, He puts His happiness. When Job finished his ordeal, the best we understand about Job is God added so much doubling to his life that he was so much more happy with that stage of his life than what was before. Praise God. Amen. You never know what the Lord, all the losses we have accumulated and gone through and what we feel because we have served God and followed God and we had to enter in this test. It doesn't compare with the glory which God has planned for us in this life and the one to come. If you agree with it, would you say good amen? Amen. I'm concluding in just a while. Let me try to help us to get some of this in our mind. Here, as we read through the scripture, this passage, we read about the power of unbelief. Unbelief stops people from obtaining the plan of God. The book of Hebrews, chapter 3, when reflecting on the Israelites and why they didn't enter into the promised land. The book of Hebrews says this. It says, because of unbelief. It's unbelief. Everybody say unbelief. It's unbelief that they did not receive the inheritance. They could have all got into the promised land. It was not their sin of covetousness or lying or cheating which stopped them from entering in. It was unbelief. Unbelief has a way of stabbing God right there in the heart. Other things we do can, it's like God has boundaries and God has laws and orders, and when we violate those things, it's like you kind of like break those or try to break the boundaries of God. But something about unbelief is like you're stabbing the very heart of God, because it questions God as who He is. It questions the nature of God. When God says something about Himself, that He's a good God, unbelief questions that God is good. Unbelief makes God look bad. Unbelief makes God as not as powerful as He is. Unbelief makes God, when He said something, I'm going to bring you to the land, I'll give you that, as if God's not faithful to His promise. So there's something about unbelief. It goes against the very nature of God. And that's why unbelief can keep us from the blessing God has. Would you say amen? Sadly, the unbelief galvanized the people against God. The unbelief kept them from seeing the reward. They began to meditate on the unbelief and what would go wrong. And so they did not see the reward. And made them lose out on the tremendous opportunity that God had for them. That's the power of unbelief. Closely paired with unbelief, as in this passage, we understand the folly of fear. Here it was, the people of Israel, they were afraid. In fact, you read in verse 3, it says, they were worried for their wives, they were worried for their children. They felt that, you know what, if we're going to, this is bad. Going into a land which there are giants there, there are conquering men there. This is bad for our children. They felt that they were trying to protect their children, protect what belonged to them. They were trying to be good people in that sense. But feeling that God had forgotten that. You know, when God called us to do something for Him, He didn't ignore the fact when He calls you to do something, you've got a family, you've got children, you've got something to take care of. God knows that. Would you say amen? God never calls somebody and says, I want you to go and be on the mission field and serve me in this particular manner, forgetting the fact that they had children and other responsibilities which are close and important to them. God knows it. Amen. God understands it. And if we can be in the place God wants us to be in, that is the best place to be at. Would you say hallelujah? In fact, if you read scripture, later on God says to the people of Israel, because this whole generation has to die. They had to die in the wilderness. And the people had to circle the place 40 years before they finally get into the promised land. And God says, the children that you're so concerned about, they're going to finally get the promised land. But they could have got there many years before that. And God just says, you know what? You were so worried about things. You were so concerned. You won't get to see the promise. But I want you to let you know, I will keep my word and my promise will be done. Would you say amen? Sometimes we think that we're the most caring, when we try to, God speaks to us, God tells us, God tries to push us to a greater commitment to Him, that we have all these things. Oh, what about my children? What about my spouse? What about this? What about that? And we forget that if we get in line with God's will, it will be the greatest blessing, not just for us, but our families, our parents, everybody who is associated with us are blessed. Would you say amen? If you and I follow God, sometimes when people try to come to faith in Christ and they worry and say, you know what, if I become a Christian, what about this family member and that family member? What about the tension with other members of the family? And we're so concerned about that. And I know many of you have been in that situation when you had to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. But the fact that you followed Christ, you've opened a door for your family to be blessed and touched. Would you say amen? If we've got families here in this church, which are testimonies of the fact that when somebody opens their heart to God, God has a way of getting into the whole entire family unit. Would you say a good hallelujah to that? Amen. Praise God. So fear, they were fearful. They were afraid about their children's well-being. But the greatest place to put your children in is in the hands of God. Amen. The greatest place to put all the things which you love and care for is in the hands of God. Obey God, trusting Him. Just like Caleb and Joshua, they trusted God. And trusting, and God will ensure He'll take care of the well-being of your entire family. Would you say hallelujah? But fear has its way. It cripples their perspective in God. It made them forget of what God had said and what God had did in the past. God said lots of things. He said good things to them. He had done great things. He had demonstrated His goodness, His glory, and His power time and time again. But fear has a way of crippling our minds that we forget what the Lord has done. Would you please stand? We want to close if I can have the worship team come up.